It had begun on one of her solitary rambles through the grounds of Rosings Park. It was a pleasant day. The sun was shining in a clear sky, and Elizabeth enjoyed the crisp air of the morning with no hint of the disaster to come. As had happened more than once before, she came across Mr. Darcy whilst passing through her favourite glade, and again he seemed to find it necessary to accompany her back to the parsonage. Wishing she was still alone, Elizabeth had only half attended to his occasional forays into conversation. At one point he turned to her for a response, and with the indistinct idea he'd been discussing the house at Rosings, she remarked that the house was so large she was sure she had not seen half of everything it had to offer.
"That will change on your future visits, when you will spend more of your time there," said Mr. Darcy.
His expectation that she would wish to know Rosings better irritated her. She said archly, "Do not wish such a fate on me, sir. I assure you that, should I visit Kent again, I will be perfectly content to spend my days at the parsonage."
"Surely you know that this is no teasing matter, Miss Bennet," he said.
There was an edge to his voice that made her look at him sharply.
"Mr. Darcy, I have no conception of any sort on the subject."
"You know what my hopes and wishes are," he said in a voice of tight intensity. "You have seen me struggle against it, but it will not do. None of the objections, and I know there are many, none have the power to move me any longer. My feelings will not be suppressed. I have never been so bewitched by any woman. Your low connections, the degradation which it will bring to my honoured family name, the opposition I will face from my family have long prevented me from speaking or even considering a union with someone so far my inferior."
Elizabeth's astonishment was beyond expression. Could he possibly be attempting to declare himself? Mr. Darcy, who was so proud as to look at her only to criticise. She could not credit it. That he would harbour such insulting thoughts about her family was not surprising. But what lunacy could bring him to say them aloud? He continued, unaware of her silent struggle.
"But ardent love will not be denied. I can no longer imagine a future without you by my side. Your wit, your charm, your beauty hold me captive. The depth of my tender regard for you can be demonstrated no better than by my overcoming such weighty obstacles to make this declaration."
She could hardly believe she was not dreaming, but she could never have dreamt a more absurd set of circumstances. She knew she must stop him, and she turned to him with great determination.
"Mr. Darcy," she began, but before she could say anything further, he had taken her by the arms and pressed his lips against hers. She felt nothing but shock that he would so violate propriety as to take her husband's prerogative. As soon as she could speak, she cried, "Mr. Darcy, you must not—"
"No, Elizabeth, indeed I must,"
he said in a voice of surprising tenderness.
"You need not worry. I will not allow anyone in my family to be unkind to you."
"That's hardly the point, sir,"
she said, her voice trembling with barely suppressed anger.
"You presume far too much."
"Surely you do not think your father will deny my suit?"
There was a light of exhilaration in his eyes. Before Elizabeth realised what was happening, he was kissing her again. This time she struggled free and backed away from him. She could not believe it, even of him. His countenance expressed concern, but no loss of assurance.
"My apologies, dearest Elizabeth. It was not my intention to frighten you."
"Darcy!"
An angry male voice interrupted them.
"How dare you!"
Startled, Elizabeth turned to discover Colonel Fitzwilliam breathing heavily as if he'd been running. Close behind him were two of Lady Catherine's gamekeepers. Her first response was relief at no longer being alone with Mr. Darcy. The second was horror as she realised Colonel Fitzwilliam must have seen the entire episode. There could be no hiding her shame. There were too many witnesses. Darcy did not even look taken aback.
"You misunderstand, Fitzwilliam. Miss Bennet has just done me the honour of consenting to become my wife."
Was his pride so great that it did not occur to him that she might refuse him? Elizabeth opened her mouth to deny his allegation, but before any sound could emerge, she recognised her danger. If she claimed it was not true, her reputation was ruined, regardless of whether she had welcomed his advances or not. What was her other option, though? Marriage to a man she heartily disliked? She looked at him, utterly furious he had put her in this position.
Colonel Fitzwilliam turned to her.
"My congratulations, Miss Bennet," he said. "I wish you the best of luck with that rogue.